You're so good, John. What a wonderful world. I think it's really apt that on this harvest celebration, a day when we think about those farmers collecting together all the ripe crops, that we are here at Forefront thinking about this amazing world that God has created and showing our thankfulness to everything that he has given to us. And Psalm 8 is, in my opinion, the best of the five psalms that talk about creation. It's the most descriptive, and it's just lovely and succinct and clear. So Psalm 8 was written by David when he was a shepherd boy. This is a long time before he became that great king. And it was read beautifully. Thank you to Denisha and Michael. I'm just going to put it in kind of easier words in case anybody didn't quite catch it. Basically, this is David looking at the sky and saying, wow, that's really, this world is massive. I am really tiny and God is good. That's basically what the psalm is saying. We are going to look at it in a little bit more detail than that, otherwise it would be a very short talk. And I'm just going to pick out some key pointers that really struck me as I was reading through it this week in preparation. So the first one, am I meant to be clicking? Okay, let me see if it works and then... Oh, I'll do it. Thanks. So the first one, my first point is that creation exists for God's glory. And this is said way more poetically than me by David in verse 1, which I'm just going to read again. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. I'm going to stop there. So this is the idea that there is no place on earth where God's power and greatness cannot be seen. This, for me, is one of those wow moments where you... If you could think back, maybe it was recently, maybe it was a long time ago, where you've been in nature and have just been stunned by its beauty and its awesomeness. So when I was younger, we used to be given National Geographic magazines, and I would look through them and think, do these places really exist? There are some incredible places, which I haven't been lucky enough to see, but I did... get one of these moments last year when Ryan and I were given, as a Christmas present, somebody let us spend a week in their flat in Chamonix, which is in the French Alps. And they like to go there in the ski season, and it's basically empty in the summer. So we went in the summer. I was pregnant and had morning sickness, but we decided to go for this walk and needed to stop a little bit more than perhaps we normally would have done. But every time we stopped, we had the opportunity to look out at this view. And it was, there were snow-capped mountains and beautiful valleys, and the sun was shining and the air was fresh and crisp. And I just thought, this is incredible. This is almost too beautiful for me to be able to see. It was too good to be true. And actually, I had those moments other times as well, even driving to work when I go down Cutterford's door and see the sun rise over the fields, especially when they're misty, and if there's a few sheep sprinkled around, even better. But just, you've probably had these moments yourself when you've seen something amazing in creation and you have thought, wow. And all of this exists for God's glory. The next point, which for me is kind of the punchline here, is that the universe is absolutely massive and we are tiny. So I'll read again. Is it, which verse? Verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. So just pause a second and think about that. David has given us this beautifully poetic image of the intimacy and personalness of God's creation. He used his hands to create our world and actually the galaxies as well. Now, David, when he was in his field and looking up at the sky, had some sense of the bigness of it all. But he would be completely astounded if he knew what we now know from the Hubble Bubble, is it a satellite telescope, and the everything floating around in space. It is massive. So I've got some pictures for you. Here shows you the scale of the Earth and just some familiar ones. So the Earth is there on the bottom left of the screen. And that little marble, and on you can see compared to Pluto, we're a pretty good size. But then we're kind of dwarfed a little bit by Jupiter, I'm going to zoom out and we'll have a few more planets there. Boom, the sun. As soon as you think about the size of the sun and relative to that, how big these other planets are, suddenly even Jupiter looks quite small. But you can zoom out even further. And suddenly now the sun is just a tiny little pebble. And you've got these other stars, which I don't even want to attempt to pronounce. And again, I mean, the sun has just disappeared into a speck. And you can see these huge, huge stars. And I'm sure people here have far more astrophysics knowledge than me and know how to pronounce these and lots of interesting facts. But basically, it's massive. The universe is absolutely massive. And so then David says, rightly, which verse is it? Verse 4, what are mere mortals that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? So why is it that God would care about us when he's got all of this massive universe to think about, keeping things spinning, and yet we are just tiny little fleas, really? We're just a little speck on the canvas of history. We shouldn't matter to God, and yet we matter immensely. Now, these same hands which flung these stars into space created you, and they put together the little veins and capillaries running around your body and crafted your eyes and your ears and your nose. These same amazing hands that created these spectacular views that we get to enjoy once in a while, and some that we only get to enjoy in magazines, they created each and every one of us too. There's a guy, I looked him up, he's called Eric Zachrisson from Uppsala University in Sweden, and he believes that there are 700 quintillion, which is 7, I wrote it down because it's a big number, 7 followed by 20 zeros, 7 quintillion planets in the universe, and there's only one Earth. And God has been very good to us. He's given us this kind of Goldilocks status, where we are not too far away from the sun that we're too cold, and we're not too close to the sun that we're too hot, we're just right. And within this earth, this Goldilocks earth that he's made for us, David is thinking here about the creation in Genesis 1, when he talks about, should we read it again? The flocks and herds, the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. So he's talking about the amazing things that God has given us on our Goldilocks planet. And that is humbling and amazing to think about. And I think, really, Psalm 8 is a snapshot of David having one of those wow moments where he just thought, I cannot believe how amazing the universe is, and that the same God who created that cares about me too. So we need to have two responses to this. The first one, God cares a lot about this earth, and we should too. And so there's a sense of responsibility in that, and I'm going to stop because Laura's going to talk about that later. I don't want to tread on your toes. So more on that point later. And the second point, which is really the punchline of my little bit this morning, is that our hearts should soar into thankfulness when we think about the amazing creation that God has given to us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a creative God. Thank you for this earth. Thank you that it's just right. Thank you that your mighty hands, which created this huge, mind-blowing universe, also created each and every one of us and cares about us. Lord, our hearts just overflow with praise for you. Thank you. Amen.
Oh, thank you for all the amazing things that you have blessed us with. And thank you that those things aren't just for now either, but that you have promised us so much more. Jesus, we praise you. Amen. Sorry, I've got my car keys in my pocket. They're going to really annoy me. Sorry about that. That would just really bother me otherwise, and it would really distract me, and I don't want any distractions while I'm up here. So as we've just been talking about, we have got so much to thank God for, haven't we? So many things that he's given us. But as Georgina touched on, and as we've looked at in the psalm that the kids wrote last week and in the psalm in the Bible, we are also responsible. We have a responsibility to look after the things that God has blessed us with. And there's a big word that Christians sometimes use called stewardship, which sounds very grand, doesn't it? But actually, we are all stewards. Stewardship basically means that we have to look after the stuff that we have been given. And right now, Grace is being a steward of my car keys. Thank you very much, Grace. She's looking after them. They don't belong to her, but actually, she's got them safe for the time being. So thank you very much. And verses 6 to 8 in Psalm 8 remind us of our stewardship responsibilities. It says, "You put people in charge of everything you made. You put all things under their control, all the sheep, the cattle, the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that lives underwater." It's a lot of stuff. And even though this psalm talks specifically about animals and reminds us of our responsibility to look after the earth that God created, there is so much more that we have been blessed with that we have a responsibility to look after. But I didn't want to do all the work this morning, so I'm going to get you guys to do some of the work now, please. I want you to just have a think about what are some of the other things we have a responsibility to look after. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds to share your ideas with the person sitting next to you. Go. Ten seconds. And stop. I'm hoping that based on all that conversation, there will be some ideas to share. Shout out your ideas. What other stuff are we responsible for looking up? Babies. Very important one. Sorry? Nature. Resources, do you want to be more specific? Oh, okay, the water we use and the energy we use, absolutely.
The poor and needy.
The poor and needy. Your actions. Your actions, the ozone layer, yes. Well done, Taryn, thank you. So that's some of the really big stuff. What about some smaller stuff? Paul?
Pets,
absolutely, we need to look after our pets. My little sister. Your little sister. Just one of them or both? Georgie?
Family.
Our families?
Money.
Money? Working. Yep, the things that we use at work?
Our bodies.
Our bodies, absolutely.
Homework.
Homework, yes. Very big responsibility, homework. Jobs? Yeah, there are so many things that we have been blessed with that we have to look after. But none of those things we've talked about actually are ours. We can try and hang on to them, but ultimately they all belong to God. And because God is a generous God, he wants us to be generous with the things that we have to look after. He doesn't want me to keep my house all to myself. He wants me to use it to bless other people. He doesn't want me to keep all my money to myself. He wants me to share it with people who might need it more. He wants us all to show kindness through the things that we have. Grace, quick question for you. Those car keys, are they yours? No. Are you going to give them back to me when I ask for them? Oh, she said yes. Excellent. Thank you very much, Grace. I'm very pleased about that. What would happen if Grace decided that actually she didn't want to give back my car keys? Maybe it starts raining. She would rather not walk home in the rain. She wants to drive home instead. Do you think that's going to be a good idea? Anyone think that's a good idea for Grace to drive my car home? No? Oh, Isaac might want a lift. Even though it might seem like a good idea, Grace driving my car is probably not the best thing she could do. She's not old enough. Her feet probably wouldn't reach the pedals. She's never had any driving lessons. And even though she might be feeling really greedy and I want to keep Laura's car, she would probably crash it if she tried to drive it. So she would ruin the thing that she was being greedy for in the first place. She is also likely to hurt herself Because she doesn't know how to drive and she's likely to crash it, people get hurt in car crashes. So Grace is likely to get hurt if she's greedy with my car. But not only would Grace hurt herself, she would probably hurt other people that got in the way too. So Grace, I'm very pleased that you're not going to try and drive my car home. You're far too sensible for that. But do you know what? Sometimes we do the same things with the stuff that God gives us. And when we get greedy with what we have, it can have the same effect as crashing a car. We hurt ourselves when we allow ourselves to get selfish. We hurt other people because maybe what we have is what somebody else really needs and God wants us to share it with them. And we also hurt God because he really loves it when people are generous and show that they care about other people and not just themselves. So today we've got an opportunity to share just a little bit of what we've been given. We've got a chance to share some food with Lord's Larder or give some money to send a cow. And those things are brilliant. But if we just wait for once a year when the church says, hey, we're going to have a special offering for some stuff, we're going to miss so many other opportunities if we just wait for the church to tell us when to give. So I want you just to think now about something you can do this week. Something you could share, something you could give away before you even come back to church next Sunday. And now that you've thought about that, don't just think about it, go and do it.